This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because, together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment's brought to you by Scooney Side-by-Side, serving service center in El Cajon off of Greenfield. They're servicing all the side-by-side and off-road community. Call them at 619-499-7536. They're at 202 Greenfield Drive. You can also get passes through the desert. They do everything from brakes to shocks to oil changes, upgrades of all kinds. Give Scoonies a call. Get on their appointment list, 619-499-7536. They are ready to take care of you. And Ed Hansen's Muffler at 3916 North Barcelona in Spring Valley, 619-698-7030. If you need an exhaust system of any kind, Ed Hansen's Mufflers can do it all. So give them a call, 619-698-7030. All right, we got Ed Stoven in the house today. Audrey wasn't able to make it in. So I'm going to run downstairs real quick, but you've got a nice little story you want to start off with. Let her rip.
Well, thank you, Dave. So today's show, we're going to talk about ghost camping in the desert, the Idaho Bureau of Land Management travel plan, which we talked about last month, off-highway vehicle grants, the Bureau of Land Management conservation rule. This is bad news. And for this segment, we're going to talk about the Lakeside Parade, which took place a week ago. So Lakeside has a rodeo in the spring, and it's a big deal in the community. And so they have a parade on Saturday morning, and San Diego Off-Road Coalition for many years has participated with a float. And our float is our big orange trailer. And then off-road vehicles, for one day a year, you can drive an off-road vehicle down Main Street and everybody's smiling and waving at you. Unfortunately, I did not participate because I was at the Desert Advisory Council meeting for the Bureau of Land Management, which is a little bit more important that somebody goes to that. And since I'm appointed to the Desert Advisory Council, I had to be there. But I hear that it was a big success. Lots of vehicles, Jeep clubs. I know Tierra del Sol was represented. The San Diego FJ Cruiser Club had people there. And Cactus Park BMX with Vince McCurdy, they were there. And kids were riding BMX bikes. And you know something I just learned is that they now have electric STACYC racing on Wednesday evenings at the BMX track.
That's pretty cool. I know that electric is now becoming more and more popular. We talked to Indian Motorcycle a couple times, and they've been advocating about their electric motorcycles their electric bikes specifically, not their own motorcycles. Yeah. The day I live until I see an electric motorcycle again out there in the road, let me tell you, it's not happening. Those Cybertrucks are complete garbage. So what do I expect with an electric motorcycle?
I don't know. I you don't see too many of them. And the Japanese are actually not going after electric motorcycles. They are putting their efforts into hydrogen. They think they still are committed to the internal combustion engine, and they like hydrogen.
Well, it's funny you should say hydrogen. I just came back from Long Beach.
Yes.
With Toyota and Kenworth. They're in a partnership, the trucking company.
Yeah, the big semis.
Well, because if you look at Long Beach Harbor, and it's in a bowl, and all of the pollutants, like when the big ships come in, they have to, you know, they have to stay running, so they're belching the nastiest diesel you ever see in your life. They're not allowed to, because Toyota has built a hydrogen plant that generates electricity for the ships to plug into so they can shut them off. And the byproduct of nitrogen is water, and they use the water to wash all the new cars that come off of the boats, and they're deionized water. So that's no amazing. Spots, no nothing.
That's amazing.
And it's the only plant in the United States. And it was a collaboration of Toyota.
That's amazing. Those ships are filthy exhaust. They're the dirtiest things that mankind has created.
So they're not allowed in unless they can shut down and plug into our system. So
well, that's a step in the right direction.
I know. I figured you'd get a kick out of that.
I like that. So yesterday, the Cleveland National Forest hosted a trail day where they invited users, Jeep Club people, motorcycle people, people that use the area to come out and trim brush and clean up the campsites. So I went out there, and there's a trail out there called Ranger Trail. It's a motorcycle single track. And when it was created, I actually helped work on that. Mm-hmm. The forest came to a SDORC meeting, Richard Tull, and they said, we're going through this process called travel management. And while we have all the experts in the forest looking at the resources, we'd like to designate some new routes. So Tierra del Sol four-wheel drive club did some four-wheel drive routes. And then I went out and worked on a motorcycle single track. Mm. So there's about a 5-mile single track, and I trimmed about half of it. And last year at the same event, I trimmed the other half. So we've got that pretty good. So I went out there with my little dog and my new Xterra. I just bought an Xterra four-wheel drive. And I went out and walked the trail, cut it. There was a bunch of people out there. I saw a Suzuki Samurai, and the tires were about this high. I'm pointing about waist high. I don't know if he had Toyota axles. I'd never seen one so built before. So it's fun to go out there and see all the interesting vehicles and help with the forest and get out of town. And after the event, Rick Moore, a longtime SDROC supporter, and I went over to a truck museum just east of Campo.
Yeah, Motor Transport Museum. They're open every Wednesday and Saturday.
I had no idea it was there.
Really?
Oh, and we walked all through it. When they have a truck, like old trucks.
Yeah,
like
no, that's from the 1900s.
To the 70s.
Yeah. Armored trucks, dump trucks, work trucks, you name it. And what they do is they have kids come out on Saturdays. They teach kids how to work on them.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Free of charge. Yeah. It's really a great group. It's just an amazing group of guys.
It's neat. And a lot of the stuff, the trucks are pretty rough.
Oh, yeah. They're terrible. But they're not.
Decades of neglect. But you can look at them, and they're still beautiful in their patina.
Oh, they'll work on them. They'll get, they're a nonprofit, so they don't have any real money. And that used to be, I'm trying to think of the plant that was. It used to make gypsum, I think. No, not gypsum. What is it? But it's an actual working plant that they've turned that into a museum.
Oh, okay. So that was fun. And I'd encourage people to go out there and look at that if you're interested in old trucks.
Yeah.
So
the train museum's out there, too.
We went by the train museum. We also went to the Buffalo Soldier Museum.
Yep.
And then we went went to the Rock Museum.
Yeah, there's a lot out there a lot of people don't realize.
That was fun, driving around and stopping and looking at all that stuff. Last Friday night, I went to Trevi Hills Winery. There's a fundraiser for Andrew Hayes, who's running for state assembly. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a who's who of East County politics. We had Brian Jones, state senator, County Supervisor Joel Anderson, and Congressman Daryl Issa in attendance. And that's the first time I've met Daryl Issa.
Oh, really?
I went up to him and chatted. And I told him who I represent, off-road vehicle. And the first thing he did was start talking poorly about having to have catalytic converters in off-road vehicles. I mean, boy. You know, Daryl, he looked good. He spoke well.
Yeah.
He's like a consummate politician.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's a really real professional. And all three of them got up and spoke on behalf of Andrew Hayes. The East County Republican people are really behind Andrew Hayes for state assembly. He's running a hard race. He's up against a strong candidate. And the other candidate doesn't live out there, has never lived out there. And Andrew was born and raised in East County. He's been representing on the Lakeside School Board for a long time.
All right.
Well, and we're really hoping that he can prevail in this election.
Yeah, let's hope. All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDRC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by Wayne Miller Tire. Wayne Miller Tire now has bumped his capacity up to full service. He'll take care of engine oil, tune-ups, you name it. Wayne can take care of it. Still does the tires. He will come to you, but you can go to him. Just give him a call, 619-596-2800. 619-596-2800. All right, so we got the, I think we took care of the first segments. Talked about Andrew and Brian and Daryl Issa.
So Andrew's got a tough election coming. We'll have him in the show in the coming months to talk. He's a good guy. I've actually known him for like 15 years.
Really?
He started coming to SDRC meetings when he was in high school. He was a volunteer intern for Joel Anderson when he was in the assembly. Joel was in the assembly. And then when Andrew graduated college, he became a staff with Joel, and he stayed in Joel's office until Joel termed out of the Senate. So Andrew then went over to Brian Jones' office, where he's still employed, and he wants to take this empty seat for state assembly.
Uh-huh.
And boy, do I wish him luck. He's got a hard race. So next, I want to talk about the Bureau of Land Management Conservation Rule. And this is bad news, Dave. We're really upset about this. So last year, the BLM introduced a proposal, and they were taking comments on, they wanted to change their rules. The BLM has what they call a multiple use mandate, which means for public land, they need to use or allow activities to happen like hunting, mineral exploration and removal, yeah. Right? We want to have oil and various, and recreation, rock hounding. There's a variety of activities that take place on BLM land, and they want to elevate conservation to one of those uses. And not only that, they also want to allow the Bureau of Land Management, or the BLM wants to allow nonprofit organizations to lease land for conservation easements. And what that's designed to do is to take away land from oil and gas exploration, as well as cattle grazing. So imagine the Sierra Club taking over 10,000 acres of what could possibly be prime land for minerals or for cattle.
Well, you know, they're saying that one of the biggest culprit our cattle and livestock as far as putting ozone gases into the, so they're saying that we should stop eating them. Well, wait a minute.
If
you stop eating them, doesn't that mean the herd just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? Because if you don't eat them, unless you're going to start just slaughtering them, just to slaughter them.
It's.
But they never look at down the road. So you don't want us to eat meat anymore. Fine. What are you going to do with all these cows and pigs? I mean, they screw around with the ecosystem, every time they screw around with it, it makes it even worse. You got mountain lions coming out of the hills into Alpine and Pine Valley and Julian. Makes no sense.
They're crazy. So a congressman, John Curtis, introduced H.R. 3397 that would simply stop this this change in the Bureau of Land Management's management of public land. And so this bill just the other day passed through the House of Representatives. They pushed it through quick. It passed.
And it passed for the BLM or against the BLM?
For us.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So to stop this rule, this bill would stop the rule, and it passed the House of Representatives. It's going to have a harder time in the Senate, and it's going to have a tough time with the president. But right now, it passed the House of Representatives.
Wow.
So we'll keep on pushing
that. This is national. This is local.
This is national. Oh, wow. Right? The Bureau of Land Management's a federal agency.
Okay. Well, that makes sense why the House
and this is it. Yeah. So and we know why the House went for it.
Right.
And this would be this would cover land in California.
Yeah.
All the western states that have BLM land, and some states have an awful lot of it. So this is
scary.
This is a scary
but
thing.
It's just another page. It's like this is their job is to try to take as much away from the American public.
And they take this land away, and then how do we fill the needs for oil,
right.
for minerals? Okay, now we're dependent on China. Now we're dependent on Middle Eastern countries that don't particularly like our way of living.
No.
So now we have to buy from these people. Russia is a huge oil exporter. Do we want to buy from Russia? I would rather not.
No, their oil is filthy. I mean,
I don't know about the quality of the oil, no, but they got a lot of oil.
Yeah, but it's not good, and that you know they don't refine it like we do. We would have to refine. Yeah. And by the way, just off the subject just a little bit, go try to buy a riding lawnmower today in California.
You can't do that?
No.
Well, how do you? What if electric, you have an acre of glass? You have
to go electric. Electric.
So and you drag an extension cord?
No, battery. Batteries are $1,500. The tractors are $6,000. But I'm just going to throw this out there, folks. I'm going to go do it on Monday. Lowe's in Santee has 9 42-inch gas Craftsman lawnmowers that they're letting go for $2,200.
These are ride-on?
Yeah, lawnmowers. And I am going down. I already have one. It's over at Pacific Lawnmower, which I'm going to have her on doing radio.
Uh-huh.
Because when you hear the horse manure stories that they're doing to the small business, you know, the lawnmower companies, the grass company, it's just weed whackers. You can't have a gas. No, you can't have a gas weed whacker.
How much? Well, fuel and the electrics don't use. It uses like a cup full.
But see, the electrics don't have the horsepower to cut the real thick weeds.
Yeah,
it's only the gas powered ones.
Yeah,
I could go on and on and on and on. And that's I'm going to have her on because that's a show in itself.
Easily, you know, the worst thing about this ride-on lawnmower problem is the people that race. Right on lawnmowers, they're not going to be able to get mowers.
I know. I've got a couple of them. I'd let them have. They'll just come get it. But no, the government doesn't care about entertainment. They don't care that your family is all going out together and spending the weekend at a racetrack. They don't see any benefit to that.
Dave.
It's totally, totally, totally insane. It's totally crazy.
You know, we work hard at our job. Or we go to school all week.
Just don't tell us what to do.
We want to do something fun on the weekend.
Just don't tell me what to do. As long as it's not illegal.
Nope. You can't have a lawnmower.
Nope.
Can't have a nice lawn unless you get our expensive batteries.
Yep. I know. And all the landscapers in the world are freaking out. Well, because they have to... Blowers, you know, they put those big Honda blowers on.
I see those.
It's all got to go away.
I don't like those things anyway.
I don't either.
Ride my bicycle and they blow a cloud of smoke on me.
All the time.
Dust. I hate that.
All the time.
But I like a clean sidewalk.
No. I do too.
I love to see nicely manicured property.
Well, and not only
and
that.
How much fuel does does a gas blower, gas?
Nothing.
You know, you have to use moderation.
Now, if it was two stroke, okay, I get it because two strokes not real clean.
They're a little dirtier.
But at least with like my, in fact, I go out and I spend $30 for a 2.5 gallon can of gas because it's no, It's 94 octane with no ethanol. But the beauty of it is, if you just go get pump gas and leave it in your lawnmower or your weed whacker, that'll corrode up, and next thing you know, you don't have anything. With that, no ethanol, man, I tell you what.
Where do you get that?
You can buy it at Home Depot. You can, so if you have any power equipment, that's what you should be putting in it, not pump gas. And you'll never have a problem.
I have some old motorcycles, and I spend a lot of time poking out jets, taking the carburetors apart.
Yeah, well, if you
bought the gasoline,
if you put this stuff in there, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
That would be nice. It's the old days, I never had a problem.
Well, no, because the old days they had good gas.
And now
we have terrible gas today. Terrible, 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 terrible.
Okay, we're going to shift gears to off-highway vehicle grants.
Okay, we got. You want to hold that till the next segment? Because I mean. We can, because I think if that's.
I have a variety of different subjects within the grants, so maybe we can hit one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, California State Parks, the green sticker people, they get money. They give money out in the form of grants every year, about $16 million, and it goes to federal agencies like the BLM, National Forests. It goes to county sheriffs, goes to cities and counties. And it goes to nonprofits. And so their applications go out for public review in March and April. And the deadline is tomorrow for the grant applications. Anyway, I've been looking at the grant applications, and I see some great stuff, and sometimes I find some funny business. But what's interesting is that when you make a comment on an application, the applicant can make a change in their application based on that comment. So I was looking at El Centro Bureau of Land Management, and that is an agency that I am friends with. I like those people. They do good work. They are protecting a lot of land and helping to keep recreation there. They made a little mistake that cost them 40 hours of the price of a technician. So I put that in the comment, and they went in there and they fixed it. So that helped those guys out. Desert Group Search and Rescue. I think we'll get to that right after the half-hour break, Dave, but I found some funny stuff in their website.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we come back a whole lot more right here on STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by S&S Off-Road Magazine. Go to snsormag.com. Steve and Sherry do a phenomenal job. In fact, they've been doing it since 82. Used to be a magazine. Now it's all online. And what's online is massive. There's just pages after pages after pages. Stories, contests, games. Articles written. Ed does one. They also have social media. They have all of your classifieds, whether you're buying or selling. You really need to check them out. SSORMAG.com and support them. Subscribe. So keep them going down the road happily. All right. So what else you got? Now we're going to talk.
We're in the grants section. Yes. Mm-hmm. State Parks grants. And so if you're interested in off-highway vehicle use in California, this is a great way to see what all these different agencies and nonprofits are doing, and of course, how much money they want and what they want to spend the money on. So there's this one called Desert Group Search and Rescue Volunteer Incorporated. They're a nonprofit that does search and rescue, helping out in deserts, not around here, but more like in the Mojave, up in the Jawbone, Dove Springs, around that area. So I'm looking through their grant application, and they're looking for a lot of medical supplies and money for fuel, like stuff that we would expect we would want them to have. And so I think, okay, if my friend was lost into the desert and I wanted to call these guys, how would I do it? So I look for their website, and they don't have a website. They state in their application that they have a Facebook page. So I go to their Facebook page, and they have some information on the side. So I call the phone number, and nobody answers. They have an email address, so I send an email, and it gets bounced back as undeliverable. There's a website link for Kern County Sheriff, so I click the link, and it's a dead link. So now I'm starting to get a little bit suspicious. Is this really a good organization? So I go to the grant page, and I, well, before that, I actually called the Kern County Sheriff, and I said, hey, do you guys know these people? Do you work with them? And the first person that answered said, I don't know. Let me pass you on to a supervisor. So I get a supervisor, and the supervisor says, I've heard of them, but I don't really know. So now I'm like wondering, are these guys really legitimate? So in the grant application, there's a place that has the information of the grant applicants. So I see a phone number for one of the people, and I call it, and the guy answers, and he talks me down. He's actually a good guy, and he goes, yeah, I'm sorry. We don't really promote ourselves very much. We work based off of 911 calls. So if you call 911 and you say, hey, my friend is lost in the desert, that's how we would get notified, and we would do that. On the big weekends, they set up out in the desert, and they're ready to go. So it was interesting to learn about these guys. And since then, they fixed all their problems on the website or on their Facebook page. The phone number is fixed, a different email address, and the link to Kern County Sheriff's was fixed. So it's interesting to find out what's going on and help them fix up their mistakes. So when various law enforcement agencies ask for money for salary, they state how much the person makes. And so I've seen how much people are getting paid for all the different county sheriffs and some other ones. And by far the highest was LA County Sheriff's. Their guy in charge, they're billing for $184 per hour for the sergeant. And that's just so much. Like on the bottom end, it's, I don't know, $60 an hour for other people. So I know LA is an expensive place, but that was just crazy. So I put that in my comments. This just sounds
a little pricey.
A little pricey. Thank you, Dave. Now, when I look at these grant applications, I consider myself a custodian of the off-highway vehicle user's money. I want to see the money spent, but I want to see it spent wisely. I don't want it to just get wasted. So over in the San Bernardino National Forest, so think Big Bear and Idlewild, they have a big application. They're asking for a lot of money, and there's a lot of off-road there. And so I'm reading through the application, and I found something that really made me happy. Like, oftentimes I'm finding things that make me mad.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, by maintaining trails to their intended standard, users are encouraged to remain on the designated routes since they are exposed to the trail experience and level of difficulty they anticipate. So we've always heard about people, oh, you got to stay on the trail. Staying on the trail will help keep the trail open. And that's great. But these guys are taking it a step further. We're going to make the trail what you want it to be, so you're going to stay on it because you're looking for that kind of experience. So I wrote them a note saying, this is the greatest thing I heard. Every grant should be like that. Cleveland National Forest has two different areas that they get off-road vehicle grants. There's the north, it's an area called Wildomar. And Wildomar is a small area in East Orange County, kind of in the mountains, south of Ortega Highway, Highway 74. And then also Corral Canyon in the Cleveland National Forest, where I was trimming bushes yesterday. And that's off of Highway 8, south of 8 at the Buckman Springs exit. You go a little way south and then go back to the west on Corral Canyon Road. Anyway, Wildomar is a very small place. It's 360 acres, and there are 8 miles of routes. So it's tiny. It's barely worth the effort to go there if you're a serious off-roader. And they want to get $65,000 for trail grooming. So that's, I don't know, divide 8 into $65,000. You get a lot of money to groom a trail. You can rent a bobcat for $300 or $400 a day. And in one day, I'm sure you could grade 2 or 3 miles. So if you pay somebody $300 a day and you rent a bobcat for $300, I don't know, $600 a mile instead of $6,000 a mile. So I mentioned in my comments that I think they're a little bit, I don't know, not realistic with this. And now they close the area when it's raining to prevent erosion. And then once the ground dries after the last spring rain, there's really not a lot of dirt moving until the next rainy season. So once it gets fixed up after the rain, like right now this time of year, you wouldn't expect them to need to do a lot of grading. So I think that's just an absurd amount of money. Okay, Bishop Bureau of Land Management. I don't normally comment on Bishop because it's kind of far from here. I concentrate more on the southern part of the state. But somebody came to Corva, and I'm a Corva director. Somebody came to Corva and asked us to look at a couple of grants, including the Bishop Bureau of Land Management. So I looked at it, and in their application, Dave, tell me if you think this sounds right. They said in their application, not all routes have been re-inventoried since the 2022/2023 winter.
Why aren't they?
So they had, there was a lot of rain out there.
Yeah.
And they had some erosion. So for over a year, they haven't looked at any of these routes. They call it re-inventoried. That means they looked at it to see if they've eroded. But later in the grant application, it says, route monitoring is a, this is a quote right from the grant. Route monitoring is a critical component to successfully responding to maintenance needs. It's important that we quickly address issues to keep motorized users on routes and reduce resource damage. So they completely contradict themselves.
Two people writing the grant.
They say it's important to we quickly address, but over here they say, well, we haven't even looked at the routes in over a year. So I reached out and I said, you guys need to contact Corva and California Association of Four-Wheel Drive Clubs, right? That's where all the Jeep people go,
right?
And ask us for help to go evaluate these routes. We would be thrilled to go out there and have a purpose, right? Because we go driving out there just for the fun of it,
right?
But if we have a purpose, it's fun to be serious. Okay, yeah. We're going to go look at these routes and we're going to find out where the problem is.
And we'll assess them for you in a...
We won't even charge you. We'll do it for free.
Yeah, just let us go.
Just give us the map and say, go look at these routes and we will let you know how they are. Well, I just wrote it in my comments and I sent it. I haven't even heard back yet. But maybe next week they'll get back to me. But I'm pretty disappointed that... They even admitted they haven't looked at all the routes in over a year. I don't know. I mean, the BLM, they have other duties besides off-road vehicle and routes. You know, they have all kinds of resources. So I get they got their hands full, but this is still unacceptable.
Totally.
And so I called them out on it, and I was pretty annoyed. My biggest problem in the grants, surprise, is San Diego County Sheriffs. Now, a few years ago, I really beat up San Diego City Police Department for their crazy grants to look at San Diego beaches. Mm-hmm. Remember, they wanted ATVs and side-by-sides to patrol the beaches, and they never mentioned that any relationship with the lifeguards, who also have the power to arrest and already have vehicles and are already looking at. So San Diego County Sheriffs, They do this long grant request, and it seems like they have no idea what they're doing. They're naming roads that don't exist that they're patrolling, or they're misnaming, right? They don't know the actual name of the road.
Yeah, but they're doing this for equipment, right? They're doing this to get
Well, yes, they want a side. They want a Jeep and they want two ATVs.
And they've already got a whole slew of Toyotas.
Do they really?
Yeah, all brand new Toyota gave them to them. Tacomas, all four-wheel drive.
They didn't tell me that.
Oh, yeah, they run on the beach. In fact, Toyota was in town last week, and we were down at Pacific Beach, and they had a display of the board of, or the lifeguards.
Yeah. Oh, the lifeguards like Toyotas, yeah.
And so now here's the lifeguards out there hauling butt around the sand, throwing rooster tails, a whole bit.
I should have been a lifeguard.
I go, wait a minute. I thought you didn't want us to do that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, one more segment of SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks. Welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170,
The Answer.
Hey, Lifestyle Garage, they're in Lakeside, right off Mineral Gardens. And I'm telling you what, if you have a Jeep, Chevy, Ford, Dodge, and you want to make it personal, that's what Lifestyle's all about. They use best of the best parts and pieces. They also do general automotive servicing, and they have a fleet department. If you're an off-roader, but you also have a business, and you have a fleet of vehicles, and you'd like them taken care of, Lifestyle Garage is the place for you. 619-499-5323. Just go talk to Tony and tell him you heard it right here on KCBQ.
So back to the San Diego County Sheriff's grant. They're saying things in there that don't make sense to me. They mentioned that they're a nonprofit, even though they're really a county agency. And they're looking for money to do things like look for overdue hikers, downed aircraft, stranded motorist, human remains detection, evidence searches, body recoveries, natural disasters, and rescue operations in urban and rural parts of San Diego County. So I appreciate that the sheriff wants to have training in all these areas, but I don't understand how that helps the off-road vehicle community. Should off-road money be used for all that? I don't know. So on page one, they mention that they service Pinyon Canyon Road. Well, there's no such road as Pinyon Canyon Road, but they might be thinking of Pinyon Mountain Road in Anzabrego Desert State Park. Well, this road is for street legal vehicles only. No off-highway vehicles are allowed there. And Anzabrego Desert State Park is a state park, and I don't think they're eligible for this kind of grant money. Right, because it's the same agency that is giving out the money, state parks. They mention McCain Valley Road as an off-highway vehicle area, but off-highway vehicles are not allowed on McCain Valley Road. However, they are allowed in nearby Lark Canyon Road or Lark Canyon OHV area. This is a motorcycle area. Now, by the way, they want to buy a four-wheel drive Jeep and two ATVs, and that's fine. They want to use grant money to buy those, but they talk about using them in Lark Canyon or McCain Valley OHV area, but Lark Canyon is a motorcycle area with narrow routes, and that's an area I personally ride, and you cannot get an ATV through those routes. It's just too narrow, so I don't know what they're talking about there. In fact, for these vehicles, the ATV and the Jeep, how do I put this? There's not that many places where you can drive an ATV and use it for patrolling for off-road vehicle in the county. So I asked the question, is it okay for the sheriffs to drive ATVs in areas where ATVs are not allowed to be used? If they're just patrolling, they're not going after somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. So if that's the case, then there's not very many places where they can use an ATV. maybe Corral Canyon and Otay Mountain Truck Trail. So that was kind of making me crazy. They said they want to patrol Otay Mesa Mountain Truck Trails. That was in the writing. Now, there is such a thing as Otay Mountain Truck Trail, but Otay Mesa Mountain Truck Trails, I never heard of.
They're probably doing it on purpose.
They're screwing. They're picking me out.
See, and I purposely think if these guys need off-road vehicles, the off-road vehicle company should just donate them.
You'd think so. And they're asking like more money than retail.
Well, of course. They don't care what the price is.
Well, they don't care. And I'll give them this because sometimes they set up these vehicles with like the law enforcement stuff, the lights and the extra holders for the baton and the whatever stuff they put on there. So I get it. It costs more to kit a police vehicle.
Here's the thing that gets me. If you watch a police car that goes out of service and gets sold to the public, mm-hmm. it's still got spotlights on it. It's still got the big brush guard on the front. All that should be taken off and put on the next police car that they get
brand
new.
Now, I like what you think. No, they want everything brand new when they get a new car.
Give me a break.
So, Dave, I've covered grants. I wrote a whole bunch of comments. A lot of them, everything was fine. But I want to move on to a different subject for the last few minutes because this is... It's interesting and it's kind of difficult. It's called ghost camping. So at the Desert Advisory Council meeting last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, they brought up a problem called ghost camping. And what that means is out at the Imperial Sand Dunes, Glamis, you can fit many thousands of vehicles in the greater area, but there's some premium area that is very, very desirable. Like along Gecko Road. I don't know if you know Gecko Road, but there's the paved road that goes from 78 south a few miles, and there's some premium spots along there. And what people are doing is before Thanksgiving, they'll put a bunch of rigs, 5 or 8 RVs, and make one big camp. And then after Thanksgiving, they'll leave their rigs there, and they'll drive a car home, and they'll leave one person for that whole campsite to keep an eye on it all the way till New Year's.
I'm sure they rotate people to stay there.
Right, and so different people. So they'll have one guy or two people stay there for the whole week, even though there's 8 giant motorhomes, and on the big weekend, there'll be like 40 or 50 people there. But they'll have one person there. So they're just hogging these spaces the whole time. And all those weeks in between, like December is a high-quality weather recreation time at the dunes. So after Thanksgiving and before New Year's, it'd be great to go and park at the, like, there's not that many people there. You'd like to go park at the premium place and have a great experience, but you can't. These things are just in the way. Mm-hmm. So the BLM is scratching their heads and they're looking at it and they're thinking of making a reservation system for that. And
now, if they hadn't have done that, we'd be fine. We have free camping. But now that somebody had to try to, you know, cheat, well, serves them right.
It is kind of, it's just a problem. And when you have a limited resource of something really valuable, you get problems. And how do you equitably distribute this resource? And these people are just forcing the BLM to do something difficult.
And they won't do it easy.
It's going to cost more money.
Well, of course.
Like our passes are expensive. And
then it'll come out, you can't have a premium spot more than one time a year. You know, I mean, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to regulate the snot out of this. And guys like you and I will never be able to get those spots because all the premium guys know and will pay up front whatever it takes to get those spots.
They'll know somebody or right. Like there'll be a service that will get it for you and they'll give them another $100.
Sure. I'm sure there's without a shadow of a doubt. Just makes me crazy.
It makes me crazy. But, ghost camping.
I know. So well we just gotta stay on top of them. I mean that's just
so they're gonna gonna work on making a program. And I'm on the Desert Advisory Council. So they're going to bring it to the Desert Advisory Council and we're going to look at it and we'll say, well, this looks pretty good, but what about, do you think only one time a year is appropriate? I don't know.
Well,
it's just hard.
The thing of it is, I mean, I, you know, it could be a lotto system. You pull for spots.
Uh-huh.
You know, in other words, you know, like if you're going to come out this weekend, you can't buy it 6 months in advance. You know, you can only buy it, say, a week in advance if you want to stay at that particular place.
That's a good idea because it's hard to plan 6 months in advance.
Yeah, but if you, yeah, but I mean, so then that way, and if it's open, it's open. There could be a situation where somebody doesn't, and I'm going to say there's, let's just say, 8 spots in that one place you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
So you got 8 spots, and you can't buy all 8 spots.
What do you do when you have a bunch of friends and you all want to? Well, but you know what? You're right, Dave, because there are other areas where you can put all those vehicles together.
Sure, you don't
can
have
go
to
go out to Wash Roads.
Right.
And you can maybe not have the premium place, but you can still have everybody together.
Well, it's yeah, exactly. You know, it's but they're going to complicate it to the max. You know it, and I know it. It's going to be terrible.
Well, I'm fortunate that I'm in a position where I can help adjust, right? If they come out with something really cocky, really crazy,
right.
You know, us, the people on the DAC, we can say, no, we don't think this is good. You're going to have to make
it readjust.
We have to adjust that.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So I'll be there for that. But it's just, they're kind of greedy. Like, okay, we want the best. And Thanksgiving and New Year's are the two premium weekends. There's other big weekends out there. A little bit of, I don't know, President's Weekend is a pretty big one. Yeah. Martin Luther King is pretty big. Easter, and then Halloween can be big. But right. Really, Thanksgiving and New Year's,
they're crazy.
They're only a month and a little bit apart. So people will take those spots mm-hmm. and just keep them that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks later, when hardly anyone's out there, and those premium spots, I'd love to park in the premium place for my weekend trip. Nope. Those big empty things are sitting there.
They'll come out with a rule and regulation. All right. Well, hey, folks, that was SDORC Dirt Radio. Don't forget to join up. In fact, you're having a meeting this Tuesday at the Ranch House.
Uh-huh.
And they're looking for volunteers. The Lost Lizard Fun Run's coming right around the corner and a whole lot of other. And if you want to be part of the solution instead of the problem, Ranch House, 7 o'clock this coming Tuesday night. Be there or be square. All right, Ed. Great
Thank
show.
You,
thanks a million. Talk to you down the road.
Okay, see you next month.
FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.